1998, Ping Zhang versus Eric H. Holder. And it's Mr. Bardavid. Good morning.
Good morning, Marsh. May it please the Court, my name is Joshua Bardavid, co-counsel for Ms. Zhang. The Board erred as a matter of fact and law in denying the motion to reopen. The Board's factual conclusions find virtually no support in the record. The Board specifically found that the evidence with respect to the enforcement of the one-child family planning policy in Fujian province shows that there are fines, social compensation fees, destruction of property, and maybe job demotion as the manner for enforcing the one-child family planning policy.
But, Mr. Bardavid, how are you going to get around our cases holding that a change in personal circumstances, like the birth of children, can't establish the requisite changed country conditions, you know, 1229?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The basis, the origins of her fear was a change in personal circumstances. But that doesn't affect whether or not there has been a change in country conditions with respect to the enforcement of the one-child family planning policy. So even if she has changed personal circumstances, she still does need to meet the requirements. We concede that for changed country conditions. It's our position that the record specifically reflects a change in country conditions with respect to the enforcement of the one-child family planning policy in Fujian province. Assuming that the 2007 profile is an accurate reflection of country conditions at the time of her prior hearing, I would draw the Court's attention to page...
Did you submit evidence specifically establishing that targets and quotas in, you know, Fuzhou City or
Maui Township? Yes, Your Honor.
Particularly it led to forced sterilization?
Yes, we did. First, with respect to what locality she needs to show the enforcement, it would be Fujian province or her local township. Matter of SYG, JWS, HLH, all of them say you have to make a showing in your province or locality, not specifically locality. The board in this instance moved the goalposts. They said, well, showing Fujian province is not enough. You need to show, in fact, not only her municipality, they went down to her town, to the smallest possible locality that they could require, which is, again, not the requirements that were laid out in SYG and JWS. With respect to Fujian province, the conditions that existed in her at the time of her prior hearing, as reflected by the 2007 profile, are found on page 228 and 229, which is the U.S. Department of State's profile, where they said that family planning authorities in Fujian province reported no instances of forced sterilizations or abortions within the past 10 years. And they said, although that was impossible to verify, discussions with doctors, in fact, confirmed that they had not seen any instances of coercion. If you then look at the U.S. government report issued 2009 and 2010, Congressional Executive Commission on China, which includes members of Congress, Department of State, Department of Labor, and several other organizations, governmental organizations, they report several findings. They report that the use of coercion in the enforcement of the one-child family planning policy is commonplace. That's the exact word, commonplace. This is markedly different than the 2007 report. And then they give specific examples from Fujian province as well as from the different localities. Some of the examples are found on page 119, 120, 138. On page 138, they talk about a new campaign launched in 2009 in Fujian province of widespread forced sterilizations. The numbers that they talk about are in the thousands or tens of thousands. On page 120, again, they talk about forced abortions. With respect to Fujian province, they specifically say that the regulations recently adopted require, quote, remedial measures.
But aren't these a material change from earlier enforcement measures of what is now decades-old family planning measures?
No, Your Honor. We would submit that if the 2007 profile is an accurate reflection of country conditions, which would include at the time of her prior hearing, 2004, which was when her prior hearing was, the 2007 profile, which the board relied on in its precedential decisions, specifically say that there have been reports, no reports of forced sterilizations or abortions in Fujian province for the past 10 years, and they say although it's impossible to verify, they then state that based on their discussions with doctors and other people working in the field, that they had confirmed that they had seen no instances of compulsion in the enforcement of the one-child family planning policy. And this is specifically related to Fujian province. So, in fact, the conditions that existed in 2007 and before, as reflected by the government report, is substantially different than the conditions that are currently in existence, as reflected by the U.S. government report from 2010 and 2009. In addition to the legal error of moving the goalposts, of requiring her to show something more than just her Fujian province, but down to her local town, the board also erred in applying the wrong legal standard with respect to what she needs to meet her burden for reopening. The board specifically on page 5 said that the evidence she presented was not sufficient to establish that she will suffer mistreatment amounting to persecution or torture. Will suffer. That's basically a 100% showing that's required. That's not what's required even for the ultimate grant of asylum, which, as the board said in Cardozo Fonseca, could be as minimal as a 10% chance of something happening for it to constitute a well-founded fear. The board was requiring her to show something greater that would be even required for the ultimate grant of asylum, where for reopening, you merely only need to show a prima facie showing that of the eligibility for the relief sought. So the board has applied an entirely greater requirement than what would be required for reopening. Some of the other reasons offered by the board for not considering the evidence, for example, they fault Ms. Zhang for presenting incomplete documents referring to apparently the 2009 and 2010 profile, which is, it's a bit bizarre that the board would require irrelevant information to be included in the motion. Why would she include information about North Korean refugees? Why would she include information about the environmental impact of industrialization? That is entirely relevant and is not as simply contrary to the evidentiary standards where you're supposed to just simply present relevant information. She provided a copy of the index to show exactly what information was being omitted. And finally, these are publicly available government reports, and the board was free to take administrative notice if they felt it necessary to be aware of what's happening with North Korean refugees. I see my time's up. I'll reserve the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Ms. Bai, good morning.
May it please the Court, Catherine Bai on behalf of the Attorney General. The Court should deny this petition for review because the Board did not abuse its discretion in denying her untimely motion.
Your lovely, well-modulated voice. Could you raise it a bit?
I apologize. Sure. The Court should deny the petition for review where the Board did not abuse its discretion in denying her extremely untimely motion to reopen because she both failed to demonstrate an exception to the filing deadline and she independently and alternatively failed to demonstrate prima facie eligibility for relief.
But what was the BIA relying on the 2007 country report at all? Certainly there's a more recent country report.
Well, it was actually her duty to file the most recent report available, and she chose to file the 2007 report.
See, what I'm trying to figure out is how detailed must the evidence be that she herself is a target for sterilization, why documents like she produced, which establish a stepped-up quota and enforcement measures, why are they insufficient to establish change conditions?
Well, I think the 900 pages of submissions actually show that around China there is uneven enforcement. And even if there are incremental changes in certain places throughout the country, that this court and the board have both held that that's not sufficient. You need to show material change in the country and where she's from. The board didn't actually require her to show, you know, as narrowly as counsel suggests. They actually just said that they rejected some of the documents that were from outside of her locality. And moreover, when they were weighing the evidence, they really found that she had submitted nothing that pertained personally to her own situation.
Well, like what could she, without having been there, what could she have?
Well, for in some cases, such petitioners could show that, you know, a letter has been issued where, you know, she would face some sort of mandatory punishment. And she didn't. She claimed in her affidavit that she would be subjected to mandatory sterilization, and that is that. Her claim is the only place within these 900 pages that she really presents anything that's totally relevant to her own situation. The rest of it is you know, all documents, frankly, that this court has seen before and upheld the board denying. This case has been basically foreclosed. Like, she cannot really get around the fact that she filed a motion to reopen that was untimely. She has a change in personal circumstances. There was some, if uneven, enforcement of the family planning policy in 2004, and there is some, if uneven, enforcement in 2011. She really was required to present more evidence from the 2004 situation so that the board would have a meaningful method of comparison. She did not do so. So she failed to show that there was any material change. And even if some of these documents, you know, should have been considered more, or, you know, that's the board has the choice of weight of the evidence. And ultimately she failed to meet her burden on two counts because she failed to show that an exception applied. You know, this was 6 years too late, and she failed to show that she was prima facie eligible, where she presented no evidence other than a claim that she would be mandatorily sterilized.
And weighing the evidence, did they apply, as Mr. Bartovich said, the wrong standard?
I don't think they did. I think they were entitled to examine all the evidence. This court reviews for an abuse of discretion, and that under that highly deferential standard, as long as the board has, you know, listed the evidence, given a meaningful discussion of it, you know, not outright rejected it. Here the board did consider everything she submitted and ultimately decided which pieces held greater weight, and that's the standard to which it's held. So if the court has no further questions, we believe that it should deny the petition because there was no abuse of discretion.
Thank you, Ms. Bonnie.
Thank you.
Briefly, Your Honors, just first to clarify, in fact, the most recent profile of asylum claims and country conditions is, in fact, from 2007. There has been no other profile, so we did submit the most recent profile, as well as the most recent relevant government-issued reports, which is the Congressional Executive Commission on China. With respect to Ms. Zhang being required to present something specific to her, that is not a requirement. The board laid out the three-part test in matter of SYG, which requires a showing of a relevant change in country conditions, a showing that the applicant violated the family planning policy, and that the violation will be punished in a manner that gives rise to constitute persecution. Ms. Zhang presented these three pieces of evidence. The board accepted the fact that she has two children. The board accepted the fact that the family planning policy prohibits two children. The board, in fact, accepted the fact that she would be counted and her children would be counted as Chinese citizens for the purposes of the enforcement of the one-child family planning policy. The board rejected it based on a lack of showing of changed country conditions and a failure to show that she would be sterilized. We would submit, based on what we discussed on our briefs and what I discussed before, that, in fact, she did make such a showing by comparing what existed prior to at the time of her prior hearing, as reflected in the May 2007 profile, and what exists now as reflected by all of the evidence that she presented, including the government-issued reports. Unless the court has any further questions, we'll rest on our briefs.
Thank you so very much. Thanks to both parties. Now, Mr. Ben David, did you come in from New York for this?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, have a good trip back.
Thank you very much.
And did you come in from Washington? Have a good trip back. Thank you. Case will be taken under advisement.